not for ease or worldly pleasure, not for fame my prayer shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee. Somebody help me say, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee.
Yeah. we thank you this morning. Thank you because you are the solid rock. That rock that was cleft for us. We ask again as we look at Jesus, as we look at your sufficiency, as we look at the efficacy of your blood, of your power, and as that becomes the basis for our ministry as your servants, we ask that our eyes of understanding be opened. We ask that the reality of Christ at work in us will begin to dawn on us much more. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. We thank the Lord for bringing us and for the help that the Spirit of God has been giving to us as we continue to gather in this meeting. We'd like to go on to now look at ministry to impact the sufficiency of Christ. Ministry to impact the sufficiency of Christ. That is, ministry never to diminish Christ, never to reduce his influence and power, never to obscure him, but allowing men and women to come into the fullness of what Christ had to offer. I would like us to go ahead again because we are looking at this man Jesus and the sufficiency of his ministry and what brought him to that. What brought him to that? What made him so sufficient? And what pattern of ministry must we have that will impact that sufficiency on those who hear us? And that will not diminish the fullness of his salvation to those that God has brought unto us. The entire book of Hebrews actually was speaking and introducing Christ as the one that God had set up as the answer to all the challenges and all the questions that men will have. So I would like to draw your attention to a few things about him before I now proceed to draw applications on how we will be able to serve in that same spirit of grace, bringing the fullness of the impact of Christ's life upon those who hear us. You will let me ask you to turn to the book of Hebrews, and we are going to reason from Hebrews chapter 4 and then Hebrews chapter 5. Few things about this Christ that we need to catch in bringing about his fullness unto men in our generation. Hebrews chapter 4 and a bit of chapter 5. Would you like to read from verse 14? When I read one verse, I want you to read the next until we get to chapter 5 and verse 10. We'll stop at that point. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. (Clears throat) Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. It's ordained. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. As for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. As he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And verse 10, altogether, called of God, an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. May God bless his word to our hearts as we study together this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we're looking at the sufficiency of Christ, of Jesus Christ's Saviorhood. What gave him the complete authority to become the author of salvation? What gave him that sufficiency that anybody that comes to him will be saved and there will be no doubt about it? There were things that made that to happen. Now, I'm presenting this morning again as his ministers, those of us that God has called to serve in his own order, those of us that God is giving opportunity to be preachers under the priesthood of the Lord Jesus. What is the pattern that established him to become the sufficient one for our salvation? What are the things that God had to consider for this Jesus to become so sufficient a Savior for all who will come to him? There are a few things that I was beginning to note with you yesterday, but the passage that I'm setting before you this morning, they are very, very critical in determining what each one of us must focus on as his ministers. You will let me take very quick steps, a little backward, so that when I now come to centralize on our passage, Hebrews 5, you will have seen the basis of what we are dealing with this morning by the grace of God. Now, first and foremost, in Hebrews chapter 1, we had an insight onto something that I would like you to please quickly look at Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to be reading those passages as quickly as we can. Now, the Bible began to speak about Jesus that in verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3, it said, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained what? A more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten you? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God do what? Worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Thou, Lord, art in the beginning, foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. Now, what is the first background understanding that we need to have? I will be studying Christ Jesus, and I'll be looking at him to reflect on what kind of minister me and you must be. Do you understand that now? So as you see me talking about Jesus, what made Jesus sufficient for what God called him to do? I would like you to keep understanding that if you are a minister after the order of Jesus Christ, God will not be treating you differently. You are going to take after the manner, after the pattern of the same Jesus, for our ministry to be authentic in his, for our service to be acceptable in the presence of God. Now, what's the first thing that I want you to quickly see about Jesus? Many things, but there are a few things I would like to quickly draw your attention to. Number one, Jesus can never be ranked with any angel. All angels, from the Archangel Michael, Archangel Gabriel, and all the angels, no matter their ranks, there is an infinity of height between Jesus and any of those created things. He made all angels. So when we talk of Jesus and we talk of his name, the Bible said he has by inheritance obtained an excellent name far, far, far higher than any of the angels. I want you to put that in your mind. Hallelujah. No matter how useful angels are, they don't stand anywhere in comparison with Jesus. And so in your ministry, you must never forget, not at any time, to give credence and honor to angels at the expense of Jesus Christ the Lord. Don't ever. God will not permit it. Angels are ministering spirits. They run errands for the children of God. But we are not allowed, are you hearing me, to recognize or to worship or to refer to them. In fact, when an angel has carried out an assignment, you are not supposed to even ask for his name, so that you don't say, oh, thank you, Angel Gabriel. No. And they are not supposed to receive worship. So when you see churches that are set up and they worship angels, they do so in dishonor to the name of Jesus Christ. They may do that in ignorance. Sometimes they say, well, it's one angel that gave me this message. Right. Whatever angel brought a message, he has brought it only as a messenger, and he does not speak of himself, and he dare not wait to receive any form of worship. So, Jesus, the sufficiency of his authority to save does not include a support from angels. Oh my God, am I communicating with you? When we say it's sufficient for our salvation, that means that everything that you need to be saved, everything you need to be delivered, everything is taken to heaven, everything that you will ever need from now till eternity is sufficiently and abundantly present and available in Jesus. So to present Jesus as complete, as sufficient, as total, as whole, as lacking nothing, is only correct when we have an understanding of who he is. Oh, are you hearing me? Sometimes you go to a meeting, maybe the preacher is too overexcited, and say, yes, now, let's just wave our hand and just tell all the angels, come now, come and be ministering to the people of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That is false doctrine. You don't compare Jesus with any angel. No matter how high that angel is, they are not fit to stand at his footstool. Angels must cover their face. When Lucifer attempted that I would exalt myself, you know what happened to him? He was cast out and down, and is on his way to the bottomless pit. And the children of God, whom we are raising for God, must not be misguided as to think there is something else you need to add to make Jesus sufficient for their needs. Is that clear? Can I go on from there? Now, what is the next background understanding that we need to have as we continue to look at the sufficiency of Jesus? Now, in verse 8, before verse 8, we saw the word of God analyzing, said, has God ever spoken to any angel at any time, you are my son? No. No. But when Jesus was brought into the world, God commanded, said, let all the angels of God do what? Worship him. Hallelujah. Let all the angels of God do what? Worship him. But unto the Son, in verse 8, unto the Son, he says, excuse me, who is speaking there? Who is speaking there? God the Father. I'm laying all of this down because you need to know the sufficiency of Jesus, whom we have come not only to believe, but to preach, if we are preachers. You need to know of the Son. But unto the Son, he says, thy throne, O God. This is very critical. How did God address Jesus? How did he address Jesus? He said, thy throne, O God. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, he said, all that makes God God is in Christ. And that equality with God was his right. And God, the Father himself, recognized him and addressed him and said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is the scepter of righteousness. So permit me to note one more thing before we go ahead. That actually, the Jesus that we have come to believe, all that makes God God is by right. Even though he never thought claiming that equality with God was something to fight for, no. He willingly and voluntarily made himself of no reputation so that men like me and you might have opportunity to become partakers of the divine nature. Are you with me? So, when we are considering the sufficiency of Jesus Christ's Saviorhood, let us know that it emanates from who he is and whom the Father in heaven acknowledge him to be. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Now, verse 9, where I would like you to mark. Thou hast loved what? Righteousness. And you have hated iniquity. You have hated wickedness. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Two quick things before I go ahead. Not only has God recognized and acknowledged him to be God, there's something much more that we need to now look at in our lives. Jesus has loved what? Righteousness. But this morning, I don't have the time, space to examine what that actually means in all its essence. But permit me just to say one or two, three things, and we'll move out of that. Thou loved righteousness, and you have hated iniquity. Two things that are critical in the life of any man that God will lavish anointing on their lives without any restriction. And I thank God for our brother who led us to pray and was asking, Lord, let my head be fit for the anointing. Let me be the David of my day. Let me be qualified for the anointing. And while I knelt down and I said, yes, Lord, answer our prayer. Answer this prayer for us in the name of Jesus. The Holy Ghost said, yes. Actually, I will answer it when I see what I saw in Christ Jesus. What did God see in Christ Jesus? Thou lovest what? Righteousness. For a man to look for an anointing for ministry that will not be intermittent, that will be continuous, it is required that that man should do what? Should love righteousness. Should honestly love righteousness from the depth of his heart. And to hate what? Iniquity, to hate wickedness, to hate sin. It is not every man you meet. It's not every pastor that honestly loved righteousness. You know, it will sound strange. Say, how can a pastor not love righteousness? Do you know sometime when a man is not living right, something is not correct in his life? If he sees a church member who is pursuing righteousness to such a point that that brother is likely to how do I put it now? The man's life is immediately trying to reveal or reflect the omissions, the compromise in the life of the man of God. What does the man of God want to do to him immediately? I say, hey, throw him out. You send him out. You say his own is too much. Is he behaving as if he's the only holy man in this place? What is the reason? He does not love what? Righteousness. There are people that don't hate iniquity. It's not that they hate sin. They may not commit sin because it is not conducive. Oh, you are not hearing me, sir. If you bring a cat here, what happens to all the rats? But let's imagine that you have a cat that you have kept in a cage. Are you with me? This cat has been caged. Rat is moving here and there. Are you hearing me? The cat has not eaten those rats. Why? It's caged. So inside the cat, whenever he sees rat, what does he say? Oh, if not for this cage. Kai, if not for this cage. How many preachers will have sinned if not for the cage. If not for the cage of ministry. If it is not because, if I do now, people will be talking. So if it goes to where people will not be talking, are you getting what I'm saying? That is the explanation why somebody appears to be correct. Post him out to a place where nobody is. What has happened? The cat inside of him will run after the rat. Am I communicating? Ministry could become a cage. You are restricted from doing what you would have loved to do. A pastor who used to be a friend of mine a few years back has a problem. Problem of anger. And he and his wife, there's a big matter. And it's always a problem. So one day, they quarreled. And the wife ran to my office with bruises. And you know what the woman said? Ragbile, see you. See what he did, though. And he called himself pastor. The woman just barely left. I said, don't worry, I'll come to the house. The husband ran after me and came. Ragbile, don't put your mouth in this matter. She thinks, now, what he said is what touches me. It's not the problem. He says she thinks that because I'm a pastor, I will not beat her. But I want her to know from today that I'm putting aside that garment of pastor. I want to be myself. I said, Pastor, did you know what you have just said now? He said, yes, I know. I said, do you know what you are saying? You are saying that what you want to put aside the anointing, you want to put aside the garment of ministry, you want to put aside so that you can be who you have always been inside. Could you be a man of God who has never been genuinely converted inside? You have only been caged with the garment of ministry. You have never actually been delivered from immorality and fornication. But because the ministry has put a garment on you, you have been restricted. But the cat, inside the cat, is doing what? Oh God. Did you see? Something inside of you is doing like that. I said, if not for this, I know what I will have done. And it's not difficult to see it, though. It's not difficult. When you sit down to counsel, you just want to give opportunity for counseling. Look at the list of the people you sit down with to counsel. If 20 people were to be counseled, if there are 5 or 10 brothers, but there are some few girls that you have seen, when brothers come in for counseling, you say, yes, bro, what is it? What's the problem? Say it quickly because we don't have time. When the brother finished, say, yes, all right, it's okay. There's no problem. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just go. Everything's all right. Amen. Next. What is this brother doing? He's making space. So when the ladies come, he will adjust his chair. Say, yes, sister. So how is it? And so, what is the problem? How are you actually feeling? In fact, the way you are looking so sad. And I was wondering that I, being a pastor in this church, my member is feeling so sad. Tell me what is it. And whatever it will take, we shall give it. Whether it's prayer, whether it's fasting. Then the sister talked. The next 30 minutes, she stayed there. 1 hour, she has not left. What is the matter? What is the matter? What is making your ministry this weak? Thou lovest righteousness and hated iniquity. And unfortunately, if the secretary should make a mistake to knock, say, excuse me, sir, we have more people waiting for you. Say, tell them to wait. I'm dealing with something serious. And don't interrupt things again. You hear? I have a bell. When I need you, what do? I ring, I press the bell, then you come in. What are you trying to do here? Sister, let's continue. Bro, let's talk to ourselves. Do you love righteousness? Do you hate iniquity? Aren't you struggling with a repressed cat in a cage? Because we want to minister after the order of Christ. That's why I'm talking like this. Are you with me? Because we desire to express ministry that releases the sufficiency of Christ's grace and power. That's why we are talking like this, brothers. If you are not interested in ministering for this man of Calvary, oh my God, you could be anything else. Thou lovest righteousness. You hated iniquity right from within. Therefore, God, I want you now to look at that therefore. Therefore, that is because of this, God, even your God, has done what? Has anointed you with the oil of gladness above all your fellows. Do you love God? Do you love righteousness? Do you hate iniquity? Do you shiver when iniquity is coming near you? Or you have become such a very, very insulated man of God. Insulated. That sin no longer strike you. You are so used now to trifling with sin. You are now playing with fire. But you are so used to it that it doesn't burn you. Like we used to do competition in those days. Competition of those who can drink hot tea. Hot tea like this. some of our colleagues, they'll carry it, I can finish it now. And they will do, you say, hey. Someone say, don't copy him, oh, don't copy him, oh. Your tongue will get burnt if you try it. I say, but how did he become so used to fire? And they told me the secret. That those who have continued to play around fire, they come to a point that the boiling point no longer boils them. Are you so used to hypocrisy? And these things I'm talking to you has ruined the work of God. Has reduced what could have been great works unto ordinary things. Has brought down great anointing. And has made those anointing to be empty noise. Let us talk to one another this morning. Do you love righteousness? Do you love righteousness as something you yourself are desiring? Blessed are they that thirst and hunger for what? For righteousness. They shall be filled. That's the word of God. Blessed are those brothers and sisters whose hunger, unquenchable thirst for righteousness. Jesus said they are the ones to be filled. They'll be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. They'll be filled with such an anointing that can break yokes. Permit me to ask you, because I just want to be free. I just want to be simple. I just want us to be brothers and men of God who are pursuing something serious. That's why I'm doing this. Lovest thou righteousness? Hatest thou iniquity? Or you have not had chance to sin because there is no chance? Are you hearing me? Thank God for the help that God gives. Sometimes you are about to fall in. Somebody come in. Oh, he said, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God. Let us just pray, sister. Are you praying before? Is it prayer you are praying before? But thank God for such interrupters that God used to interrupt you. But you see, after that interruption, what did you do? You did your eyes, you said, next time. So the girl goes, hoping for another time. Friends, for this Jesus, what made him sufficient, a savior, is that he qualified for God to do what? To lavishly pour upon him an anointing above all his fellows. Did you hear what I said? Even if God should see just a little of that trait, hating iniquity, loving righteousness, if he can see it in you, permit me to tell you, by all means, an anointing will come on your life. An anointing, a progressive anointing will come. As you also progressively love righteousness, as you progressively hate iniquity, as you progressively love God, and as you progressively hate every form of darkness, such with the anointing progressively increase on your life from one degree of glory to another. Can I go on? Now, what else did God need to do for Jesus to be a sufficient minister of our salvation? What else did God do to him? I want you to go to chapter 2 very quickly. You know, I say I'm building on this so I can get to chapter 4, chapter 5, where we are going to stop. Now, in chapter 2, this time, I will beg if any of you have the Amplified version of the Bible, especially the Amplified Classic, the one they call Classic, if you have it, I would love you to please get us to it. Verse 5. For unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Verse 9. But we see Jesus. Amen. We see Jesus. So let's see, what can we see about Jesus? What can we see in Jesus? What is it that we ought to see in this man of Calvary? But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, I'm reading that all in a stretch, because we are going to talk very quickly on them. It became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation, how? Perfect through sufferings. If I stop in verse 10 first, before I take the rest of the chapter, because I want to deal with one issue. But we see Jesus. Another version says, who for a little while was made lower than the angels. For what purpose? For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Because it became him. So now, brother, let's go to our Amplified version now. In Amplified version, if you are there, I want you to come with me quickly to verse 9 and verse 10. But we are able to see Jesus, who was ranked lower than the angels for a little while, crowned with glory and honor, because of what? Is having suffered death, in order that by the grace, the unmerited favor of God to all sinners, he might experience death for every individual person. I will not spend time on that this time. Perhaps God will give us space to look at that later on. But I'm going somewhere, rushing at this point. That he might experience death for every individual person. For Jesus to be sufficient savior for any man, he had paid a price. He had tasted death for every man. Now, Am I asking you to die for people before they can be blessed under your ministry? No. Jesus' death is sufficient. We don't need your own. Hallelujah. Jesus, when he said it is finished, honestly, it is finished. But what is it that is required for us to carry this kind of ministry? Let's see what God did to Jesus. All of you now, go with me to that verse 10. Now we are focusing on it from the Amplified Version. For it was an act worthy of God. Please mark this. That this thing that God did, there was no problem with it. It was an act worthy of God and fitting to the divine nature. It is not contrary. It is not contradictory. It is okay for the divine nature. That he, for whose sake and by whom all things have their existence, in bringing many sons to glory, are you with me? Should make the pioneer of their salvation. How? Perfect. Now please, this is the critical point I don't want us to miss in our discussion this morning. That it was an act worthy of God, fitting to the divine nature, that he, Jesus, for whose sake and by whom all things have their existence, in order to bring many sons to glory. Now, these are the issues I want you to please spend time with me on. In order to bring many sons to glory, in order to become a channel through which many, many will be brought to glory. The Bible says, it was not contrary to divine nature that he should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect, should bring to maturity the human experience necessary to be perfectly equipped for his office as high priest through suffering. Oh my God, this is too long. Can we break it down small, small? God, even though Jesus is Jesus, even though God has anointed him with the oil of gladness above all his fellows, even though because he loved righteousness and he hated iniquity, God has handed over all things to him. But there remains something. What remains? For him to be perfectly equipped for his ministry, for his office as our high priest, and in order to become an effective channel in bring many sons to glory, in bring many people out of darkness into the light and into the glory of God, it was necessary that the Father should subject Jesus to what? To suffering. This suffering, what was he supposed to do? It is to bring to maturity the human experience that is necessary for him to be perfectly equipped for his ministry, for his office as a high priest. God needed to subject him to suffering that will make him matured, hey, in dealing with human beings. Oh, this is confusing. Brothers, are you following me at all? Do you think I can press on a bit? What is the meaning of this? I have a message to preach. I have an anointing flowing on my head. And God is preparing me for a ministerial office in the body of Christ. But there's something lacking. There is lack of maturity in human experience that will make me correctly and perfectly fit for the ministry I am supposed to execute. Oh, did you hear what I'm talking about? So many people think that all that we needed to be an effective minister is power, the anointing. Jesus knew he had to be subject to suffering in order for him to be brought to maturity in the human experiences that will make him to be able to respond to the needs of men in order to minister to them. Oh my God. This is difficult. Well, God will help me. God will help me. Because I need God to give us an understanding. Can someone read that for us from the Living Bible? Is there a Living Bible here? Not New Living Translation. That old Living Bible, what you call the TLB, the Living Bible. Is there someone? Yes, sir.
It was right.
And proper.
That God. Who made everything for his own glory. To allow Jesus to suffer.
To allow Jesus Christ to suffer. It was proper. Listen, Baba, don't rush. Start again. It was proper.
Was right and proper.
Yes, sir.
That God, who made everything for his own glory, should allow Jesus to suffer.
Yes.
For in doing this, he was bringing vast multitudes of God's people to heaven.
Yes, sir.
For his suffering. Made Jesus a perfect leader.
Did you hear what we are talking about? There is something that will make your life, your ministry, to bring multitude to heaven. Not just the anointing. Not just the power. There's something God needs to do to you in order to give you capacity for bringing men to glory. And that cannot happen except through suffering. And this is not contrary to divine nature. This is not against spirituality. This is not a curse from the devil. This is Baba's that all those that God will use greatly to minister salvation that will bring people to heaven. It was mandatory for God to prepare them to work on their lives, to bring them into maturity that will fit them to be a perfect leader for their assignment. Do you know that some of you, by God's grace, I love you, but if you want to listen to me very well, I will ask you to please register in the College of Suffering. As I see some of you are too succulent. I'm sorry. You know, I just want to be free with you. I just want to tell you the simple truth that will help you to become an effective vessel in the hand of God. Those men that are making you sing, me I no go suffer, me I no go bear for bread, they are not helping you. If you are a correct man who wants to become a useful vessel in the hand of God, you will suffer. That suffering is a requirement to make you ready and matured for the call of God on your life. But you know, this kind of message I'm bringing to you this morning, some of you will quickly say, that is old school. You say, indeed, Brad Billy has come again. Yeah. Sorry, you met me here. I hope you know that some of you met us here. And we have continued. And God has confirmed that if we follow him in the manner in which Jesus went, we will not be irrelevant. And how suicidal it will be that we, growing to become elders, watch the young people going on the shortcut to the dungeon and not warn them. You know, it will be irresponsible on our part. You know, there's no enduring capacity in the way many of you are going. You know that the way you are moving, you are only appearing to disappear very soon. There's no foundation you are laying for an enduring anointing. When we say Jesus, the sufficiency of his saviorhood, of his priesthood, of his ministry, of his power, it was not arbitrary. If God the Father did not think it is wrong, and he considered that it is proper to allow Jesus to suffer. Baba, read it again. Read verse 10 again. Before I will let you sit down. Yes, sir.
And it was right.
It was right.
And proper. That God. Who made everything for his own glory.
Yes.
Should allow Jesus to suffer.
Uh-huh.
For in doing this.
Yes.
He was bringing vast multitudes of God's people.
To heaven. Yes, sir.
For his suffering.
His suffering.
Made Jesus a perfect leader,
mm-hmm.
One fit to bring them into their salvation.
My problem is that many who want to preach the gospel, they are not fit to bring men into their salvation. You are attempting to do what you are not fit for. Can you imagine somebody really has a passion to help people in the hospital? Anytime you see people sick like this, you will just be shedding tears. So you say, oh God, I want to go to the hospital to help them. Then you went and bought stethoscope and sewed the white uniform. They say, won't you go to medical school? Say, no. That thing is too long. And I don't have time for all those rigorous studies and all of that place. People are already dying. Let me just go to the hospital and help them. And you are wearing that dress. And you came to the hospital. They say, where is your certificate? Say, no, we don't need certificate here. People are dying. And I'm here. I am ready to help them. Tell me, what are you ready to do to them? You are ready to kill them. When I have seen people who are running away from God's processing of making you fit for ministry, for effective and enduring ministry, I know you only want to go on the pulpit to kill people, to slaughter them, to confuse them. Your messages have confused people. But you are jumping everywhere. And God is saying, this man is not profitable to us. And all because he will not allow us to subject him to the process of making a man fit for his ministry. You like to read the last line and then you see the answer.
That is the last line.
That's the last line.
For his suffering.
His suffering.
Make Jesus a perfect leader.
Yes, sir.
One fit to bring them into their salvation.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. May God help us. I said it was difficult to explain, but I'm trusting that God will press it on your spirit and it will give you a deeper conviction to pursue this matter with all your heart. To go to God and say, Lord, that which I have been running away from, please bring me to it. That which I thought I could bind and loose, that's making me fly from one place to another because I don't want to suffer. Father, take me away and return me to where I must experience this baptism so that my life will be a ministry, a minister that could bring many to their salvation. Would you like to commit yourself to God in this kind of manner? Eh? But you know you are free to say, but I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that. I know what you like. But unfortunately, this is not a supermarket. The priest told David, there's no common bread here. We don't serve common bread here. If you are not going for the truth, you come here. We are looking for those who will just arouse you, pump you. Not here. Particularly if you desire to have an enduring ministry that will bring people to glory, that will establish them in the kingdom of God. Get ready. To do what? To suffer. Sometimes when your suffering begins, because you are not understanding, you say, no, this is not what I bargained for, but you didn't look up. If you have looked up, you will have seen the smiling face of our Father and said, let it be so for now. There's no other way for us to bring you to what you are hoping to become except we pass you through this. And if you cannot endure the chastening of the Lord, then you must be a bastard. If you are a proper born child, let me do this to you. I did it to your master. He did not offend me. He was the best son I have. But for me to get him to fit into his office as a high priest, this has to be done. May God do it for you. May the Lord not mind your tears. Let me tell you, tears is no problem. Tears don't kill anybody. Honestly, tears only washes your eyes and make it brighter. That's it. Don't be afraid of tears. It's normal. And there's nobody who is going to wear the crown that has not carried the cross. May the Lord give you strength. This kind of prayer, I say, may God give you strength. Strength for what? Strength to pass through your suffering. Strength not to buckle, but to remain, to persevere until what God wants to make you has come to reality in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, when you go a little further to see something more about Jesus that makes him sufficient. I'm dealing with what will make you to be a minister of the sufficiency of Christ's salvation. What will make your ministry an effective ministry in bringing men to heaven. That's what I'm dealing with. And I'm dealing with it, not arbitrarily, because we saw it in Christ Jesus. Am I communicating now? That's why we are doing that. And if this is the way my master went, how could my own be different? If I want to be of one stock with him, how can I go differently? Now, go now to the end of that chapter 2. So that we can move away from there. Now, in verse 16, 17, and 18, he said, "For verily, he took not on himself the nature of angels." He took not on himself the nature of angels, but he took him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, all of you please mark this. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him. The word "it behooved" means it was necessary for him to be made like unto his brethren. For what reason? So that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has done what? Has suffered being tempted, he is able to do what? To succor them that are tempted. Am I communicating at all? You know what God does? In order for you to become an effective priest, an effective minister, a man that is effective, that is touched, that knows what people are going through, one who understands the challenges that men are passing through, so that you can be a faithful and a merciful priest standing between men and God. There was something again that God allowed Jesus to also go through. He was tempted at all points and in all things, yet without sin. So that when people are being so tempted, are you hearing me? He can rush to help them because he knows what it means to face temptation. Are you hearing me? Why is Jesus able to respond to the need, to the challenges of everybody? It's because there is nothing any of us are going through that he has not gone through before. There's nothing that any of us is facing that has not faced him before. He had gone through it all, and yet without sin. So he can stand on your behalf. He can respond. He can be compassionate because he knows what you are going through. Somebody said, what is the sign of a good pastor? What's the sign of a good pastor? A good pastor is not a stranger to the challenges of his members, because he himself has done what? Has passed through that before. So when he is speaking, he's speaking passionately because he himself has passed through that before. So when he says to a church member, sister, wait on God. Though he tarries, see, I will wait. God will finish what he has started. Something great is coming on my way. He's talking from an experience. Preachers, do you want God to honestly make you an effective man who is not alien to the challenges that men are facing? Do you desire that God in mercy will raise you up to be a man, a woman who has what it takes to respond to the needs of people because he himself has gone through it before? So we saw Jesus. In order for him to be a faithful and a merciful high priest, he suffered being tempted in all things, at all points, yet without sin. So there is no temptation that has ever come to you that Jesus has not gone through before. But he overcame. That's why he became a leader. So when temptations are coming to you as a man whom God is preparing for ministry, he is not asking you to fail. He's not asking you to fall. He's asking you to fight through it and become victorious. And when you have become victorious, it enters your credentials. Are you hearing me? Oh my God. It enters your credits. When you are in a university, you know, when you write a course and you pass, they will give you a credit for it. Am I right? And then at the end of semester, they calculate your CGPA. Am I correct? And then you do like that, do like that, do like that, do like that. The day you have to graduate, they said, there is one course, GST 101. You did not take that course. You didn't take that course. We check your transcript. It was blank. You can't graduate. Hey! You're in 400 level. They say, sorry, there's a 100 level course, GST 101, that you did not take. Sorry. We cannot graduate you. You need to go and re-register for that course. And it's a second semester course. So you are going to spend a whole year. Ah, yeah. Bro, why don't you register for your courses? I thought you are planning to be a great man of God. Eh? Why are you jumping? Why are you jumping? Have you ever seen any man who jumped, who became something? When I'll be stopping this morning to pray with you, pray and say, God, everything that is needed for the future you are planning for me. Let me ask you, is any of you thinking that you have a future better than today? Eh? Who is thinking of a future better than today? Ah, that's good. Any man that has a future beyond his present must be ready to pass his exams. If you are looking forward to something beyond where we are now, and I thank God, some of you, your ministry is there, your ministry is there, but this is not the climax that God has for you in mind. You have not reached where you are going yet. Where God is taking you is far, far beyond here. And you don't need to make this place your burial ground. But if God has such a heart plan for you, I want to ask you, get ready to pass your exams. Get ready to do away with jumping here. No. That's not the way. And God had to say that to me all my time. All my years. He said, what I'm roasting in your life. You know, I was a very eager man. I thought that ministry is here, there, wah, hey. God said, cool down. That's not how I make men. I said, Lord, he said, I want to produce an aroma in you, an aroma of life. But you never could get aroma from raw meat. Eh? Does raw meat give aroma? And if you keep raw meat for too long, it will not only spoil, it will give you bad smell. In fact, you don't like it. Say, for any man to release aroma, I must put him on fire. I must roast you. So bury your mouth and let's put you inside fire. Let me roast your life. When the aroma is coming out, nobody can stop it. You see, your ministry can become unstoppable. Are you hearing me? If the aroma of your life is oozing out. But aroma doesn't ooze out of raw meat. Uncooked materials don't release aroma. Am I communicating with you? I'm ending on this note so that we can keep to our time. I want to ask you to beg God what you did to Jesus that made him the author of eternal salvation to all, that made him a priest that is qualified to stand for anybody. What you did to Jesus that gave him authority over all souls of men. What you saw in Jesus, please, Lord, don't let me keep going. Do something to my life. I think if you desire to pray, and if you are looking for something not empty, the prayer we are praying this morning is not for those who are not looking for something serious. I'm not praying about those who are not seeing a future, who have come to the end of their journey and they are just planning to bury themselves. But those of you that are saying, Lord, there's a future for me. There's a day ahead of me. There's a glory I'm yet to see. There's a height that I want to climb, a higher plane than I have found. If you are such a person, everything that we make for God to prepare you for such an assignment, You are saying, Lord, Lord, deal with me. Let's pray together. Let's go to God in prayer. Let's go to God. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table, higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on a higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table and higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my faith. Lord, plant my faith on a higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height. Though Satan starts at me a whore, my faith has got the joyful sound. The songs of saints on a higher ground. Lord, lead me on. Lord, lead me on. I want you to pray. I want you to be talking to God for yourself. Heaven's table. Likaruma shantaba. Mori mushenta karuma san. Me karumu shenta mama. Leri mashanta baba. Thank you. Choir, please just wait. Let's pray. I want you to call on God for yourself. Forget people around you. If you are a senior pastor, forget the junior pastor. It's a time to cry to heaven. We have raised several issues this morning. We have seen that Jesus, the reason why God gave him such anointing above all his fellows is because he loved righteousness. He hated iniquity. And my brother, check inside. Are you just a cat in the cage? Say, because you are caged, when you are released, when there's nobody around, when things are no longer around, will you still hate wickedness? Will you not have a reason to say, nobody is here, let me just do something? Will you pray this morning, God, don't leave me at this level. I'm going higher. I'm going beyond here. What you saw in your son Jesus, please, Lord, locate it in my heart. Let's pray. Let's pray. Please pray. Keep praying. Are you the one whom God is planning to make you a fit leader that can lead many, many to glory? Many to heaven, but you have run away from suffering. The reason why you are where you are is because you ran away from suffering. You were looking for succulent places to go. You are changing your location. That's why you are not where God is saying, I want you there, because we need to pursue that college. But you have run away, my brother. Where are you going? What do you plan to become? Please pray. Lord, do whatever you must do to me in this meeting and turn my life around. Don't let me be a mere noisemaker. Make my life an effective channel. Please pray. Keep praying. Nobody is looking at you. We are calling on God. Nobody is watching you. We are only looking to heaven. Please pray your prayer. If you want to kneel down before God, you want to fall on your face and say, "Oh God, put your finger on my life from this meeting." This little conference must mark a turning point in my life, in my ministry. I cannot continue just moving around. You need to move me to higher ground. Pray. Please pray. Please pray. Please call on God for yourself. I don't know how you want to respond, whether you want to kneel down before God at the altar, or you want to lift up your two hands and say, "Lord, here am I. Nothing to hide. Nothing to keep behind. I just need you now. When next I will have opportunity, I will be testifying that something changed about my life, about my ministry." And wherever you are, whether you are at the very back or you are on the side, anywhere, lift up your hands. If you want, kneel down before God. If you want, come to the altar. But let God hear you saying to Him, "Here am I. Don't pamper me beyond here. That thing that will not let me rise to the height, take it away from me." Be solemn with it because we are praying. I'm pressing on the upward way to height I'm gaining every day. Stay praying out, I onward bound. Lord, plant my faith on higher ground. Lord, lift me up. Lord, lift me up. And let me stand. God bless you, sir. God bless you, man. Lord Jesus, carry my ship. Lema mama kanta yaba kuro bushi. Mahi kambara mashano robuskuria. Maru masamba ye kanderebo. Adi ala mashanda makori ala ba. Maya tarama ba 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 sa. My heart has no desire to sleep. Where doubts arise, and fears dismay. Though some may dwell, some of my colleagues may dwell there. Where this about? My prayer, my hymn is a higher ground. Lord, lead me on. Remashanta yeboro sabaraba. Remashanta baba 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 kandarabash. Moribose yerebo sambaramash. Moribosamba yekete yerebo. Erikasa. Remashanta ya. Lord, plant my faith on. Let God hear your voice. Let God hear your voice this morning. Let God hear you speaking to Him this morning. I know you hear prayer. And I know that those who cry to you, you hear them. This morning, Father, as we are walking through from heart to heart, from row to row, from seat to seat, while you are touching men, while you are lifting them up, all our omissions, all our deficiency, this morning, Father, come down. come in mercy. Lord, how could we be rotting on the pulpit? How can people think we are making it and we are only digging around the grave? This morning, come down. Do a deep work in our lives. Lord, I'm asking you in mercy. We are your ministers. We are those men and women that you have put here. Do something with our lives. All those who desire higher ground, those who want to go beyond where they are now, those who are saying, oh God, the vision you gave me, I've not seen it. And you are saying, yes, we have not seen you. It's you we have been waiting for. You have not come upstairs. They were prepared the furnace of fire to roast you, but you are running away with raw meat. Raw meat. You are still raw. Lord, draw us nearer. Draw us nearer. Take us to where you make your men. In the name of Jesus. Oh my God, have your way this day. You just have to have your way now. Just have your way with us. Just have your way, Lord. We can't finish this prayer. Lord, continue with us. What you want to do until you do it, don't stop it. All men that have bowed before you, all hands that have lifted to you, all hearts that have opened up to you, all knees that have bowed at your feet, all those who have come to you at the altar, Father, please, breathe afresh upon us. Do only what you alone can do. But give us a fresh experience of your hand upon our lives. Yokes must be broken today. Those things that constitute hindrance, we command you, move in the name of Jesus. Hurdles. Some of it, they are hurdles because of addictions. We command you, melt in the name of Jesus Christ. These men and women are for signs and for wonders. They are not meant to be dwarfs. They are not meant, oh God, to just be creeping around. This money, oh God, lift them up right now. Plant our feet on higher ground. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed.